That's
hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nintendo Wired Cast. I'm here with my buddy, Amiibo Jason. My name is Hiro TJ. And in the wake of some very exciting Mario news, Paper Mario to be specific, we're going to do a little bit of a different podcast this time. It's also being live streamed to YouTube. And Jason, shockingly, who loves RPGs.
I do.
Has never played Paper Mario.
That is true. I've never played Paper Mario. And obviously, I'm a big RPG fan. Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, you name it, I've played it. It's one of these games that I just never got around to playing, and I've had it for so long. And it's to the point where I need to do it. And we have Paper Mario and the Origami King coming out, which I'm very excited about, even though I've never played a Paper Mario game in my life. So we're going to play the game, and we're going to talk about the news at the same time. This is not a speedrun, unless you want to consider... I mean, technically, every game is a speedrun in its own way. I mean, it's going to be a very bad speedrun, but yes, it's my speedrun, the first time I've ever played it.
At your own speed.
That's true. So this is actually being played on a real Nintendo 64 with the Ultra HDMI adapter hooked up to it. So I'm going to go through the process of going through the game. TJ, I want to see how you've been doing first, though. It's been a week since you and I have talked. If you guys don't know this, yes. TJ is all the way in Taiwan.
Yes.
I'm in Wisconsin.
I'm doing great. Taiwan is not affected in the ways that a lot of the rest of the world is with the pandemic. The response was early and swift and effective. So we still have regular access to most of our normal lives with some added security precautions like masks, which in Chinese is kōzào, which I now know.
Kōzào, all right.
And then you also have to get your temperature taken before you go into places, things like that. But I can still go to the gym, which is what I spend most of my time doing when I'm not taking care of kids or playing Nintendo games.
Sounds like a good life for the most part.
You know, I'm living the dream, man. Can't be like this forever, but it's like this for now.
I have to point this out, too. This is the first time I've ever put this game into a system. And it says, first play, file 3, Jason. I swear to God, that's not me. That is fate. It's my first play.
Destiny.
File 3, Jason. I have no idea what's going on here, but I'm going to go in and just go for it. Start game, file 3. I'm in the same boat. Obviously, I'm in Wisconsin. Things are a little bit more hectic here right now. Places are starting to open up for the most part. But, you know, I'm still kind of just stuck here. I'm working from home. Nintendo Wire is not my full-time job, as much as I'd love it to be. And I am doing a full-on, like, full-time job at home, homeschooling my daughter at home 5 days a week with my beautiful wife, Happily Candied, who's also pregnant. So we're going through all of that during this pandemic, too. Which is super fun.
It's an exciting and relaxing time for you, it sounds like.
But we get Nintendo games, which is, again, I think that's the thing that's kind of keeping us semi-sane at the moment.
Now, before you get too deep into this game, can you pinpoint what it is that kept you from playing it initially when it released? Was it just the timing?
You know, I think it was the timing. So this was 2001. That it came out. And if I remember correctly, that was right at the end of the Nintendo 64 life cycle. So at that point, I was playing Dreamcast. I had a Sega Dreamcast, Crazy Taxi, the whole thing. And I think the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube were on the horizon. What year did those come out? Do you remember? Was that 2002?
I don't remember.
Because I remember the 64 came out in 96. This came out in 2001. So I think I just missed it. I remember hearing about it, but at that point in my life, I was too busy playing House of the Dead, playing Dance Dance Revolution. So I just never had the opportunity to play it. My RPG love came later in my life, too. I think I was about 15 or 16 when I started playing RPGs. And then I was in my early 20s when I really got into playing RPGs. So it's one of these things that I just never had the chance to play. I never played Super Mario RPG either. Which is kind of crazy. Next on my list.
You've still never played that one?
I started it on the Super Nintendo Classic, but I still have not had a chance to go through the entire thing.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that that's kind of like the unofficial prequel to this game, because it kind of establishes some of the the game mechanics, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Or at least it does the job of successfully transporting Mario from a 3D side-scrolling character into a RPG character in a very convincing way. I did play this game. I played through Mario RPG completely in 2001. This is going to date me a little bit. That was my first year of college. So my life was turned topsy-turvy. I was out of my house, and this game just did not really... I couldn't afford it at the time I wanted to give it, but I did play it. I don't remember how far I progressed, and it's possible that I completed it. I know I told you before the show I didn't, but now that I think about it, I can't quite actually remember specifically enough. That's 20 years ago. And I also played Thousand Year Door, which is the sequel, and I have a much more vivid memory of playing that game, and I definitely did not complete it because it just couldn't quite hold my interest. I remember liking it and being charmed by it and thinking it was, I kind of bounced off of it. Maybe it is because I don't naturally gravitate towards RPGs. There has to be something really fantastic occurring for me to get through the grinding and the turn-based mechanics, and I just didn't really feel like that was there for me.
You know, and I know so Square Enix made Super Mario RPG, which is, I mean, it was Squaresoft back then. They were the absolute king of RPGs. So again, it makes no sense that I really haven't had the time to sit down and play it. I'm going to try, though. I think once I beat Paper Mario, I'm going to go back and try that one out a bit and see. I did pick up Paper Mario Sticker Star on the 3DS, and I started playing Paper Mario Color Splash and never really got into them. But for the most part, most people have told me that the original Paper Mario and Thousand Year Door were the two best in the series. Everything else was just kind of ho-hum for the most part. So I'm excited to try this from the beginning because I do want to beat this game and I do want to beat Thousand Year Door before Origami King comes out. But before we
go... That's a tall order because it's coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, they gave us like no time.
July something. Do you know off the top of your head?
It's not like I'm a news channel or have a website,
right,
Nintendoware or anything. Yeah, I have no idea. It's July something. It's one of these things too where, and this is kind of news related, so those who are unfamiliar with what we're doing right now, this is a episode of the Nintendo Wirecast, which is a weekly podcast that TJ and I do. We typically don't do these live, but that being said, we do cover news on this program as well, and one big piece of news that came out this week was that it is reported that Nintendo is not going to be having any sort of Nintendo Direct in the near future. So the shadow drop that we got for Paper Mario is pretty much what we can expect to see for the rest of the year if this rumor is legit.
July 17th.
July 17th. Now, do you happen to remember the site that originally reported on the Nintendo Direct not happening?
I don't, because I think that for me, when I heard the news, it flooded my Twitter stream.
Yeah.
So I was seeing reports from everything. I saw it from Nintendo Wire, from Nintendo Life, from IGN, basically any big outlet. It was kind of a cascade in my Twitter stream.
So this came from VentureBeat, an analyst named Jeff Grubb. He is somebody who has essentially very, very good contacts with Nintendo. He has predicted many things correctly in the past as well. So I'm going to take his word for it on this one. He has pretty much a lot of respect in the industry. So it makes sense, too. I mean, Nintendo's at a weird place where everybody is doing this thing. Nintendo Directs used to be strictly Nintendo. Pretty much every major company is kind of following suit at this point. It's not as special as it once was. I think with everything getting delayed and canceled, too, that Nintendo might not be able to live up to that hype, as it were, that a full Nintendo Direct typically has. I mean, you and I are both guilty of that, too. We've done streams on this before when Nintendo's announced a Direct. And in most cases, most people get so hyped up, they're disappointed by the end of it.
Yeah, somebody's always disappointed because Nintendo has such a wide fan base with such varied and diverse interests that if your particular flavor of Nintendo game isn't announced, then you're going to walk away disappointed. I know for me, I'm there looking for Smash news, Zelda news, Mario stuff. Yeah. So if they're talking about Xenoblade or Metroid or something that's not really my cup of tea, then it doesn't really speak to my particular interests. Yeah. And so I understand that Nintendo can't be all things to all people at all times. And somehow we've got this culture where people feel so hungry for and to some extent entitled to directs that I think it puts a lot of pressure on Nintendo to really deliver. I'm less surprised because of the reasons that you said, but I'm not surprised because, like everyone, Nintendo is slowed down by the current global situation, and I think it makes it too difficult to produce something on that scale,
yeah,
and probably harder for them to maintain what their original release dates were going to be, which is something that they did indicate in the last Direct. So that it would be what they predicted it may be, is it can't be altogether too surprising.
Yeah. I mean, it's very difficult timing for most workers. Nintendo is incredibly secretive when it comes to pretty much any of their projects. So I can't imagine, I think you mentioned this last week too, that they're in the market of letting their employees take their work home on a non-enterprise encrypted security system. So it makes sense. It absolutely does make sense that things are going to slow down a little bit for Nintendo. I'm still expecting some surprises from Nintendo coming up. There is that big rumor that we're going to see like Super Mario All-Stars 2 come out at some point this year for Mario's 35th anniversary. For those of you unaware of what that would entail, the rumor is at this point it's Super Mario Sunshine, Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, and Super Mario 64.
Two, I think, was explicitly left out of
it. Oh, it was left out. Okay. Yeah, I like two.
But it was, and two is the one that I haven't played through. I did buy it for the Wii U.
I forgot that was even a thing on that.
Yeah, it got re-released for like $10, and I picked it up gladly. My daughter played it for a few hours, but I never sat down and played it. I thought that would be my opportunity to, but at the time when it originally released, I just didn't have the time to play it, and that seemed to also be true at the time that it came out for the Wii U. And I don't have my Wii U here in Taiwan, so unless they re-release it, that ship has sailed. Although the idea of a Mario All-Stars of their 3D titles is incredibly enticing to me. I have long wanted to replay Mario 64, but I kind of do hope that it's rebuilt. I'd love to see Mario 64 like in the Odyssey engine. That would be phenomenal.
You know, Odyssey, I don't know.
Odyssey was a trash game.
Oh, come on. Okay, we can stop right now.
And 64 was the gold standard. So if they could take the good things from Odyssey, which is the physics and the controls, minus the motion controls, which are asinine and handheld, then you have a phenomenal game with this great engine that they put all this R&D into that they could kind of get a little bit more mileage out of. I think would be phenomenal. And before we get too far out of this, I don't really think Odyssey is a trash game.
I think
obviously it appealed to a tremendously huge fan base. It just missed the mark with me. And I probably enjoy it the least out of any 3D Mario game that has ever been made. And I have played them all, except for Galaxy.
Got
it. As aforementioned.
I do want to point out, too. So, again, if you're listening to this podcast and not watching the stream on YouTube, you might be wondering why we're talking about Paper Mario, the Nintendo 64 version specifically. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you might be wondering, why are we playing a game from 20 years ago on stream right now? Obviously, we're playing this game in homage to the upcoming Paper Mario The Origami King, which we're going to talk about in detail tonight. I have never played this game, so if you're just joining us, I've never played the original Paper Mario. So I do think it's important that we take a look at what's inspiring these new games as well a bit. So speaking of Paper Mario, obviously Paper Mario and the Origami King was shadow dropped by Nintendo, or shadow announced by Nintendo, just a few days ago.
Yeah, pretty recently.
Was it on Thursday?
It was definitely within the week because we didn't discuss it in the last podcast, so I know it must have came out after that sometime.
Yeah. A game that has been rumored to be coming for some time. I think... Oh, my Mario just died, by the way. I think either it was supposed to happen or I suck at this game. Oh, good. It was supposed to happen. Thank God for that. So there has been a leak about a month ago. The same leak that had this supposed Super Mario All-Stars 2 in it that also said a brand new Paper Mario was going to get announced and released this year. So obviously the Origami King was, in fact, part of that. And I think if you take a look at the leak as a whole, it gives a lot more credibility that we're going to see even more Mario this year for its 35th anniversary.
Yeah, which if you've been following the podcast, you know that I have been a huge dissenter of that rumor. I'm not surprised by a new Paper Mario game because there's one on every console. And I don't think that a updated Mario All-Stars is too insane, but Nintendo combining all their Mario titles and releasing them all within a single year, I think that's pure lunacy. And if that happens, I would be so happy to admit that I'm wrong, but it just seems too crazy.
Almost too good to be true, right?
Totally too good to
be true. The fact that we saw Wind Waker and Twilight Princess both being sold for $60 a piece on the Wii U.
Right, and Nintendo could do that. They absolutely could sell every one of these games individually as a slightly re-released, slightly refurbished game, not even having to do too much to tweak it and sell them for $60 games, and people would buy it.
See, that's why I don't think Mario 64 is going to be a full remake. It's going to be a remaster. Like, I don't know if you know this, but part of the big leak that happened with the Wii source code... what was it? Yeah, it was like all the Wii source code got leaked. All of this stuff about the Wii got leaked. Super Mario 64 source code also got leaked. And somebody natively ported the game. They didn't remake it. They didn't like tweak it or emulated it. Somebody ported Super Mario 64 with Nintendo's code onto the PC in 4K.
That's amazing.
Native 4K. Again, it's a 100% port. And it looked gorgeous. So the fact that some rando who had the source code was able to do that, imagine what Nintendo could do with that original source code on the Switch. I'm not saying it's going to be 4K or anything, which it can't be, but
there's a couple of things that you would hope that they would do. A lot of people might not be aware of this because of when they were born, but the aspect ratio of television standard used to be 4:3.
Yeah.
And now,
which is
now
what Paper Mario is being played at right now.
Right. Now they're 16:9. So you would hope that they optimize it for the aspect ratio of modern displays. That would certainly be a minimum. I don't want to see a bunch of black bars on the side of my screen or some kind of artistic frame. I want the game to really be specifically designed for the display that the Switch usually plays on.
Yeah.
And that goes for, I guess, all three of those titles, because even the Wii while it had a widescreen option, I can't remember if Mario Odyssey was just, I'm said Odyssey, but I really mean Galaxy. I can't remember if Galaxy had a specific aspect ratio, if it was just a stretch.
I believe Galaxy had widescreen support when it came out.
All right.
I remember playing it with my Wii component cables specifically. So I remember playing it, I think so, in widescreen and 480p, beautiful, almost
beautiful 480p,
semi-high definition, the highest of the standard definition.
I remember Nintendo saying at the time, because they were the only ones that did not go HD with the Wii, and they said, well, you know, we did some market research, and only 15% of homes have high-definition televisions, so it doesn't seem like it's worth investing in that technology because the rest of the world hasn't quite caught up to that yet. Once it's in more homes, it makes more sense to invest in it. And I said, yeah, it's about right. And at the time, I didn't have an HD TV. And then sometime during the Wii life cycle, I got one, and I was really disappointed at how much worse it looked.
Yeah. And it was bad timing, too. So Miyamoto, this is a fun fact about HD and the Wii, Miyamoto actually came out after the fact and said that he wishes that they took HD more seriously when the Wii came out. It's interesting, too, because right when the Wii launched, Japan was in an HD frenzy. Everybody was upgrading to HD, and it was happening about 1 to 2 years earlier than Nintendo anticipated it would happen. So it was like this perfect storm of just being just a slight bit too late in getting this console out the door. Personally, I mean, obviously, it doesn't seem to have affected Nintendo all that much anyway, because the Wii was a colossal success.
Yes, and then Nintendo's first true HD console, the Wii U, was a commercial flop, regrettably, even though I still think it's Nintendo's best crowning achievement as a console.
I do have to point out real quick that Mario was dead in my game, and it looks like he has been resurrected by some star people and a Goomba.
So now that you've been playing it for a few minutes here, what do you think of the art style?
I like it quite a bit. Here's the thing. I'm a big fan of sprites, like 16-bit RPGs. Final Fantasy VI, or III if you're in the US, is the quintessential, just absolute masterpiece of an RPG. And one of the reasons why I like it so much is the art style. It's blocky, it's pixely. I mean, pixel art is something that Square did so well in the 90s. And obviously when we moved to Final Fantasy VII, they had things more cinematic, but the characters didn't have the charm that the pixelated characters did for a lack of horsepower for the 3D engine. This is a weird combination of 3D and 2D. Mario still looks like a sprite. I think he is. I can't imagine he's rendered in 3D in any way, shape, or form. Toad right now, he's on the screen. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see this, but he's just moving his arms up and down like this. I mean, it's really subtle, and it's a really good just kind of way to picture how an old 16-bit RPG did animation. And right off the bat, I can say I love the way this looks. And I did, like I said, I did play Super Mario Color Splash on the Wii U. It didn't have this charm to it. It was paper, but you could tell it was a 3D model of Mario. It wasn't like a pixelated, like, sprite of Mario. And I think that's why I like the art style of this game so much.
Nintendo does really like to do this, where they kind of get crafty with their characters. You see it a lot with Yoshi. So sometimes he's made of yarn, sometimes he's made of, what's that, felt? I'm not sure, like kind of a flocked look in Crafted World. Kirby has been clay. Kirby has he been yarn too? Yeah, he has.
Yeah, Kirby's Epic Yarn, that's where it all started.
And Mario, of course, has been paper. So it's kind of funny how they'll like take these iconic characters from their catalog and they'll reimagine them in all these different art styles, but they really do like to get crafty. And I find the ones that are the most effective for me are the ones where there is something specific about the material that they are that is intrinsic to the gaming experience. Yeah. So it's not just an aesthetic, it's part of the plot. And I feel like they do that quite a bit with Paper Mario, unless I'm misremembering, where the fact that he's paper and that when he's sideways he can turn flat changes the way that you can interact with the environment, which is what I think is so super cool about Paper Mario the Origami King, because they're taking something that's 2D, paper, and they're making it 3D by folding it, which is essentially what origami is.
It's such a good gimmick. It really is.
It's such a good gimmick.
And the way that Origami Peach and the enemies look, it looks like real paper. And again, you've mentioned this too, like with Yoshi's Woolly World and Crafted World. Everything looked like it was something you did on your own. Uh-huh. And it's absolutely gorgeous. One thing too about this game too that I just want to kind of point out, it's giving just this new level of, like, I don't know, personality to the enemies. There's a Goomba that was outside just a moment ago who said he's my biggest fan. His name was Goombario or something like that. I mean, I kind of feel bad for squashing all these guys all these years. And there's just this happy village of, like, young kid Goombas who probably had like all of their parents go off to the Mushroom War and had Mario stomp on them at some point.
I'm not sure if this happened prior to this game, but this is the first game that I played where I remember them starting to assign personalities to enemy characters,
yeah,
like Goombas. And I found that to be really refreshing at the time. It was a completely new take on these characters that I had been squashing since 1985. So it's kind of awesome that they didn't limit themselves based on our preconceived notions about the characters, and they were really able to expand the universe by deepening what we know about this particular species.
Yeah. I just talked to a guy named Goompa, who's a Goomba grandpa. This is Goomba, I think, Goomba. But yeah, this is really great. Obviously, I've seen videos of this game before, so it's not like I'm totally shocked by what I'm seeing here. Oh, what's up, kid? But if this is any indication on what we might get with Origami King, I'm going to be quite happy. I'm a big fan of the turn-based system. I think that's one of the reasons why Color Splash didn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, on that note, the Mario combat systems in Paper Mario have been met with pretty mixed reviews. With Mario RPG, one of the reasons why I think I was able to tolerate the turn-based combat so much was because it was the first game that I ever played where you had some extra level of control over it. You could block if you timed your button at the perfect time when enemies attacked you, and you can enhance the efficacy of your attack if you pushed the button right at the critical moment of the strike with the animation. And so it kept me proactive, and I couldn't just sit back and relax. I don't remember exactly if that carried over into Paper Mario, but with the most recent one, is Color Splash the one for Wii U?
Yeah, Color Splash is the Wii U.
I didn't play that one, but it had like a card-based system where you had to kind of manage your resources in a way where you could get kind of stuck, where if you don't have the right cards at the right time, you might have a problematic situation with some of the enemies. And that's the kind of thing that could turn me off of Paper Mario and the Origami King. As far as the core conceit of a flat Paper Mario having to resist getting creased by the Origami King and by Peach kind of going dark by this like almost cultish brainwashing need to become folded.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. I think the story is so good.
It looks turn-based though.
It's definitely turn-based, but I could be turned off by a really bad battle system. Like if they go back to the cards, I don't know about that.
I feel like they've gotten so much criticism over the years. For Sticker Star and Color Splash, that the Switch is Nintendo's era of reinvention. And
yes,
I guess I'm kind of scared to say this, but fan service, they have made some choices, in my opinion, that I feel were specifically for their core audience. And I can't imagine that they would hype up a new Paper Mario adventure and go back to a battle system that was just so universally hated. I can't imagine that Color Splash even sold very well. If I remember correctly, I think it was one of the worst selling first party Nintendo games on the Wii U. But I have to take a look at that again. Yeah,
it will have to be, because the Wii U was the worst selling console of Nintendo's. So, yeah, you have to imagine that it's by far the worst Paper Mario title just by virtue of the fact that it had a very low install base. The trailer, though, gave no indication or suggestion of combat in the game at all. So by them being completely mums the word on it, it has me kind of withholding some of my excitement. I'm still a little bit cautiously reserved about getting too hyped for the game. But I will say that the timing of it is perfect.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but I am just about Animal Crossing'd out. I don't really think I can put any more time into that game unless there's something really transformative about the play experience. They just announced a Museum Day event. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. My daughter was actually doing that. It just started.
Did it do anything for you?
No.
Yeah, same. Nothing about that makes me want to go back in and play. I think this is going to be the first month where I don't keep up with my bugs and stuff. For as much as I do like the game, And as much as I did enjoy playing it in the very beginning, I'm kind of just falling off because there are too many impediments to my enjoyment. So these little museum days and May days and I guess marriage month or whatever.
Yeah.
Spring event, whatever
it is. Hey, Lise and Cyrus are coming back. That's a plus.
I never liked those two
alpacas. They're cute alpacas. Come on, man.
They're fine, but they just never were really the reason I played the game. I tolerated their presence.
So I don't know. I'm at a weird place with Animal Crossing right now too, where I turn it on and I look at turnip prices and that's about it. Like that's my whole goal at this point is to save money for when Nintendo updates the game again and makes it more interesting for me. But at the same time too, and I know Happily Candied's in chat right now and she's going to just yell at me when I come upstairs after this. She and her family, her sisters and her mom, are still enjoying this game, and so is my daughter. Like, every day, just the creative aspects of it, and that's just fine. I mean, there's different things for different people, and yeah. I guess at this point, I don't have the creative juices to constantly update my town and put new furniture in it. Like, I get it one way that I want it, and I'm done. But like I said, I think people that can actually just enjoy it for what it is, and that's just constantly just messing around and playing and rearranging, more power to them. Because I think there's a lot of people out there like that.
The thing that I cannot stand that's really turning me off is I see things out there that excite me that I would want to do, but I don't have the DIY recipe and I don't have the resources.
Yeah.
And because the resources are random, I can't guarantee, there's like no way that I can guarantee that I could get golden nuggets. If there was something proactive I could do, like winning a mini game or winning a fishing contest or something that I could get better at the game, since what is holding me back is purely randomized, I just cannot waste my time. It's starting to remind me a little bit of Nintendo's Mario Kart Tour, where just get random stuff, or Fire Emblem Heroes, where you just get random stuff. And anytime a game is too based on the random, it turns off the TJ.
You and I are just different kinds of people when it comes to the... You and I are not casual gamers, for the most part. I mean, we both played Mario Kart Tour for longer than I thought we would, but like every other casual game, we fell off that bandwagon pretty quick. But I think there's still people that enjoy the little things in it. And it's, again, Happily Candied's the perfect person to kind of give you an idea of what kind of person that is. She is just obsessed with making her town perfect and adding new things and just stylizing it and making all the animals her best friends in the world. And, you know, like I said, I think there's a lot more people out there that are playing the game like that than there are you and I. I think you and I are in the minority when it comes to Animal Crossing.
I think if ever there was a game where the player base runs the gamut, it's Animal Crossing. I think there's tons of people like us, there's tons of people like Happily Candied, and then there's a whole host of other flavors of players that played in different ways, which is some of the magic of that game. And I don't say this to be a detractor, because I do think that this game did a lot of special things, and the experience of playing it with my kids was kind of magical. But now that I find myself at a point of tedium, that's where I kind of... I don't like to do chores. Like, I don't want the game to be a chore. I want to play it and have fun. I want to go in there and do something. Like, hey, today I want to try to catch this fish. And then 200 some odd Manila clams later, I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm fed up. I never want to catch another fish as long as I live.
That's why I like games like this. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited for Origami King right now, is I've been waiting for a Mario game that I can just get lost in. And again, I don't have the ability to get lost in a game like Animal Crossing. The longest I played it was 2 hours, and that was just doing some kind of crazy projects. I think it was a lot of path work.
Yeah, making your epic street, which is amazing.
Thank you. But a game like Final Fantasy VII Remake is one that I was really, really into. I would spend hours and hours and hours on end playing that game because I got sucked into the story and the characters. And I can't do that with Animal Crossing. And everything in Origami King just has all of this charm that I didn't expect from Paper Mario. Like I said, I never really got into Paper Mario, but everything about the trailer just looked exciting. So yeah,
one of the things that's really cool about Mario RPG is that pretty early in the game, you have to join forces with Bowser, which was very new and refreshing for me at the time. And it looks like that's kind of a situation in this game again.
Yeah, Bowser got folded, right?
He looks like he's partially folded, like a little cube somehow. I'm not exactly sure. It looks a little bit strange, but you get to see Mario utilizing some of Bowser's tech or resources. He has the clown car, I think, at one point in the trailer, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Unrelated to Bowser, but also pretty awesome. And I guess this relates back to Nintendo canceling their June Direct. That's not to say that we won't still have some June reveals. Like they did suggest in the last Direct that around June we'd figure out a little bit more information about which ARMS character might appear in
Smash. I thought that it was supposed to be coming out in June.
Yeah, it is. Which may or may not happen. But I think that maybe inadvertently the Paper Mario Origami King trailer revealed who it is. It's actually Origami Arms Mario.
Yeah.
With those extended arms.
Could you imagine, though? Could you imagine if they did that?
They would lose their mind. If it was Paper Mario Origami Arm as the arms character, people would lose it. I think a lot of people would be happier.
We need to have this conversation quick. Because this is something when I saw that key art, and if you're coming to this video from just YouTube, I put a picture of Mario with his origami spring arms on the thumbnail. Goomba. Obviously, it looks like arms. So we have an arms fighter coming to Smash in June. We have this game coming out in July. What is the chances that we could see Mario in arms? Is there a chance? Is this a hint that we could see an origami Paper Mario come to arms?
You want to hear something really stupid and ridiculous?
Yes, I do.
I did not buy arms. If Origami Paper Arms Mario went into it, I would buy it.
You know,
I would still probably not play it, but yeah, I would buy it.
I really hope it does. It's a fun game. It's a decent enough game.
And I would like fall off within about 2 minutes. So,
but you're so excited for an arms character coming to Smash, though.
I am, because I love Smash. So I want to take the characters from Arms and juxtapose them with the Smash playstyle, which I really love. I can get behind how Smash controls, the simplicity of it. I played Arms as I think the first or second Switch game that I ever played at the preview event in Los Angeles, California, and I just found the controls so offensive. I was like, no way. It was my first introduction to the Joy-Cons, and my impression of them has not improved since.
And by the way, Jessica, there's a girl named Jessica in chat for all of you listening to the podcast. Yes, we do look at the chat from time to time. So I'll mention this again for some people that might be joining our live stream right now. This is an episode of our podcast, so we typically don't do these live very often. So it might seem like we're just off on our own conversation, but that's because this episode is going to be put onto iTunes shortly after we're done streaming. And having conversations with chat the entire time would kind of make an awkward podcast episode, unfortunately. Even though I think it could be fun to a certain degree. So Jessica, go listen to our podcast and you can hear your name. It's on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on Spotify. Search for Nintendo Wirecast. We do this every week. It's fun.
It is pretty fun. And I also want to point out Nintendo Wire favorite Ricky Berg just released a true fun fact that TJ loves all the Fire Emblem characters in Smash. That's not...
Is that a fact?
A true fact. That is not a true fact. Although weirdly, and I know this makes no sense, and I don't know how to explain myself on this point, but out of all of the new fighters that were revealed in the Fighters Pass, Joker, Banjo-Kazooie, Hero, Terry Bogard, and Byleth is the one that I like the most, and I'm so offended that Byleth got put in. It's like, how? I don't even know how to reconcile that in my own mind. I don't even know how to reconcile that in my own head, but there it is. I'm a walking contradiction.
Hey, at least you can admit it, man. I'm still salty about that Byleth incident.
I am too. I don't know. That's why I'm so torn. I guess it's more indicative of how little personal fondness I have for the other characters. And it's not that I dislike any of them. It's just that I fail to see the significance or the Smash connection other than Banjo. But since I never played Banjo games, it's more like a vicarious joy that I feel for the people who are passionate about the character. He just never really resonated with me.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have loved him if I had the opportunity to play his games at the time, but for whatever reason, I missed him.
Dude, I want to go... We got to go back to this Mario and Arms thing, because now my noodle is, like, just completely awake with visions of Mario and Arms. Like, yeah. I'm dead serious.
Would it be Paper Mario? Because that would make it even more crazy.
Yeah, it would have to be Paper Mario. But how would you do it in a 3D fighter?
Right, because then... He would, when he's turned sideways, he would be all flat, Mr. Game & Watch style.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, now that you mentioned that, I think...
Or he does get turned into origami, and then you have the 3D origami Mario, Paper Mario. We don't know. That might be...
That could be. We don't know what's going to happen in the game yet.
He could potentially have an origami upgrade, like a power-up or something, where that he needs to go 3D. Or if the whole point of the game is him resisting going origami, that would be one thing. But what if it was a little bit like A Link Between Worlds, where he had to go between being flat and being three-dimensional to be able to complete certain puzzles? That would be kind of awesome.
That would be interesting. I kind of like that idea, too. Man, I still can't believe we're getting this game in July.
It's a really quick turnaround. I like this style of Nintendo a lot more than Breath of the Wild style, where they're like, hey, guess what? Breath of the Wild's happening. Check it out. This is a really interesting and exciting trailer. Game 5 years later. I much prefer, hey, guess what? We've been working on this thing behind the scenes. We didn't tell you anything about it. And boom, it's coming out in a month or two.
Yeah.
That's kind of great.
Man. Anything else you want to touch base on regarding Paper Mario before we move subjects?
No, I think that I'm excited and cannot wait to see more about the battle system, because for me, that's going to be the make or break.
Yeah. So with the Arms Fighter coming, do you have any other thoughts for Smash and Amiibo at this point? Do you still feel how you felt last week? Regarding Amiibo kind of being...
Yeah, for those of you guys who haven't heard it, my current attitude towards Amiibo is I think Nintendo still intends to release all of them. All of the Amiibo factories are in China, so not surprisingly, I'm sure that there has been a significant delay in their production. But if we don't at least hear some mention of Amiibo... come the next, I don't know, Smash Direct or Sakurai Presents, because we are in no man's land. We have not heard word one about Amiibo since the last one released. There was a tweet by Mr. Sakurai saying, hey, Amiibo takes some time to release, just so that you know. But he didn't specifically say, yeah, all those Fighters Pass guys, they're going to get one too. Although it's widely assumed, and I think rightfully so. So, I don't see a world in which Nintendo doesn't intend to release these figures. I'm sure that their schedule has been dramatically disrupted. But if I don't hear something in June or whenever it is that they do their next Smash thing, I'm going to start to enter the irrational paranoia stage of Amiibo Jason. That's where I'm at with it.
So wait. So you're saying I'm irrational and paranoid?
With respect to the future of Amiibo, I think you might be.
All right, that's accurate.
As a normal human being, I think you're very level-headed, very witty. But when it comes to Amiibo, you can lose your head.
All right, I'll just point out one more time. The end is near, my friends. The end is near.
It is.
Amiibo. So I'm torn on this subject because the Amiibo, the secondary Amiibo market for Animal Crossing Amiibo cards is insane right now. Yeah. Some homework for you. If you have, let's say, a YouTube page open right now, open up a new tab, go to eBay and type in Marshall Amiibo card. Marshall is, of course, a little white squirrel from Animal Crossing. Take a look and see, not what people are asking for. Take a look and see what people are paying for a Marshall Amiibo card. I'm talking 50, 60 bucks for one Amiibo card. It's
I looked at it
insane.
Right now. Now, my prices are all in NT, which is the Taiwanese currency. Roughly speaking, one American dollar is about 30 Taiwanese dollars. So the prices I'm seeing are 219 NT, 405 NT.
Now,
these are some
the cheap ones.
Prices.
Keep in mind, the cheap ones are reproductions for the most part. You have to find those minty authentic cards. I'm telling you right now, average for a Marshall card is about 60 bucks. Average for there's about 10 or 15 cards that are over $50 consistently.
Oh yeah, here's one that's 90. 90 for Marshall.
So we're at a weird place right now where Amiibo scalping has never been higher. The want of Amiibo, and not for just a pretty picture of an Amiibo, these cards are what Amiibo were meant to be. People are buying these for pure functionality, something we haven't seen with Amiibo in a long, long time. And it's for a series that Nintendo completely neglected after they released it. In the US, yeah, we still have no information about a reprint of Animal Crossing Amiibo cards. In the UK, they're getting it. In Japan, they're getting it. But in the US, Nintendo of America has yet to confirm these things are coming out. And there's obviously a demand for these cards.
Yeah.
And it's one of these strange things, like I said before, where people are buying these for the functionality. They want to do something in a game, and that's what Nintendo originally wanted with these Amiibo, and they very quickly just turned into something that collectors wanted.
And again, one of the things I hate about them is the random aspect. If I want a Marshall card, I just want to be able to buy a Marshall Amiibo. I hate that I have to buy a pack that has six cards in it, and there's 500 some odd cards. So the chances that I would get a Marshall in my one little six pack would be next to nothing.
Oh, I love that. I love.
I know you do.
I love the gacha aspect of it because
I hate it.
It's not like Fire Emblem Heroes or Mario Kart Tour, where
it's exactly.
It's
like
not.
That.
It's not
because you can get duplicates every time.
But you can trade these in gacha games. You get like this inventory of like all of these things you can't do anything with because the second you can trade them is the second the game stops becoming profitable. Animal Crossing is guilty of that too with Pocket Camp, where you can get 500 of the same item. Your mom really wants it. You can't trade it to her because then she's not going to get a fortune cookie. Yeah. So the thing I love about these Animal Crossing Amiibo cards is I went to Amiibo card trading events at Toys R Us, met really cool people that were into Amiibo. I completed my collection like that. And the same thing, too, where people needed a card that I got five of. I was handing those things out like candy to, like, friends and strangers. It was fun. I had a blast. I'm a big fan of the community aspect of Amiibo. And it's one of those things where back in the crazy day of Amiibo, when you would just wait outside of a Toys R Us or a Target, you got to meet people you never met before. People that were into the same hobby that you were into. So I miss those days and I want them back. So I'd love to see Nintendo do another series of these.
Don't let it ever be said that Amiibo Jason isn't a giver. People are selling these Marshall cards for hundreds of dollars and you gave them away for free.
I gave too many of these cards away for free. See, these are supposed to be a college fund now and they're definitely not. But
yeah, didn't we just talk last time about purchasing Nintendo items as an investment to flip at a later time, and now all of a sudden these cards are just super profitable.
It's crazy. I know we saw the same thing with the Hello Kitty Amiibo cards, where they were just, they're still asinine. There's still $200 for six cards. So there's obviously a demand for this. When Animal Crossing Amiibo and Amiibo cards came out, get away from me. Oh, got him. It was nice, at a very, very bad time, and we've mentioned this before. Animal Crossing Amiibo cards were for a game that was not a core Animal Crossing game, at least at first. They eventually became usable in New Leaf, but...
with the Welcome Amiibo update, which just came way too late.
Way too late. It was still a really cool update, but most people were not into Animal Crossing the way they were when New Leaf first came out.
Yeah.
So if they would have waited to release these cards for New Horizons, they would be the hottest selling thing ever. Like, they would be sold out everywhere.
I think if they would have just re-released them when Animal Crossing came out, they would be the hottest things everywhere. Why is it? And, you know, tell me what your thoughts are on this. I have so much less disdain for the fact that these Marshall cards are selling for hundreds of dollars because nobody can go out and hoard them. They're just not out there. Only the people who have them have them. Than I am about the Switch selling for some $800. And people went out quickly and bought them all to flip them. Or in the early days of Amiibo, where people would just buy out the whole stock in the hopes that they could sell them for way more. Why does that bother me so much more than this card situation?
I think the thing that bothers me about it is maybe Nintendo did have plans to re-release these things before the whole pandemic thing. So maybe I'm being unfair. But there's obviously... cards are not like anything else. I can't imagine it would be overly taxing for Nintendo to reprint cards. And they've done it, obviously, in Japan and the UK.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that just upsets me the most is that they have this amazing functionality built in, and whether Nintendo realizes it or not, they are putting these characters behind a massive paywall. There's just something I feel weird about that. Like, I feel weird knowing that you can't just go on Amazon or Nintendo's online store and say, I'd like a pack of Amiibo cards, please. I'd like something that is brand new in a game that you just put out. You put out this amazing functionality, and I can't use it.
You would think that Nintendo would stop doing that, but it seems like every time they have a game with incredible Amiibo functionality, the Amiibo are not there at the time. So either the people who had invested in Amiibo prior to that game's release are the only ones who get to enjoy it, or the people who pay these exorbitant aftermarket prices.
Yeah.
Or the people who wait forever until Nintendo creates some sort of re-release. There's no happy medium, where the only thing that really makes any sense is to get your ducks in a row and release the ancillary products simultaneous with the game. I don't know why they are doing that. It just makes too much sense.
I think the other thing that just scares me a little bit more about the future of Amiibo is that you have a franchise that's selling better than anybody ever anticipated, and Nintendo's still being wishy-washy with their Amiibo production on this game, even when they included it. Part of me feels like that they never anticipated the Amiibo demand to be even close to what it is, which is weird to think about, because Animal Crossing fans are rabid and they want their characters and they want them now.
Yeah, you know? And the problem is, I actually think if Nintendo does get around to producing the cards, that day by day, the demand diminishes. Either people get over it and they move on past the game, like I did. I would have happily, we talked about this weeks ago, where I was like, I actually feel like I'm sort of tempted to want to start to get some Animal Crossing cards. That kind of flippant urge that I had, I'm past it now. I don't care anymore now. I did care at the time. It would have been nice to have a couple Animal Crossing Amiibo cards here in Taiwan so I can play around with them in the game. Now I just don't care. I'm sure that there are other people in my situation, or there are people who want it so bad that they pay these exorbitant online prices, hundreds of dollars for a Marshall. They don't need it anymore. They just got it for hundreds of dollars. But they would have happily bought hundreds of dollars worth of packs that would have gone directly to Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo gets nothing for these hundreds of dollars that they're spending on the Marshall card that Nintendo already sold that they got a dollar for. And so
I think the interesting thing is, if you look back at the Amiibo Jason and the Amiibo news account, I let people know this was going to happen when prices were low. I told people, get on eBay and Amazon right now and get these cards. I completed all four of my collection just recently, like right before New Horizons came out, because I'm like, I need to get these cards now.
When you say all four of your collections, you mean each series?
All four series, yeah. I was close on all four, but I was missing like three cards in one, four cards in another. So it wasn't like an insane amount.
There's not five series?
There's five technically. There's the RV series and the Welcome Amiibo collection. I never really collected for that, which is, I know, heresy. But
not heresy, but surprising, because
I got a couple packs, but they were very, very hard to get. So right now, out of that set, we have all the Hello Kitty ones, and we have, I think, about 10 of the 50 cards. And it's not because part of it is because I was at a point with Amiibo cards where I'm like, I can't do five series of Animal Crossing. I just can't afford this. But
four is fine, but five is too many.
It was getting to a point where I'm like, okay, like I'm spending $6 a pack on this. And there wasn't a community of people trading for that set. It was so far at the end of the New Leaf lifespan where, and Amiibo were kind of losing popularity to a certain degree at that point too. So it was harder to come by these packs as well. And I couldn't justify spending the money.
Yeah.
Now I regret that. Now I want a complete set. But
well, now you could just trade your Marshall for some of those. I'm sure people will go for that. Like you said, there's a resurgence in the interest. And
there it is, my Marshall right there.
Oh, he's got it. He's
my Japanese Marshall.
There's an opportunity, I guess, for people to want to wheel and deal and swap some cards. So there's still hope that you might eventually complete that Series 5, especially if Nintendo does get around to re-releasing. Although I'm not sure if the RV series would be included in that re-release.
They are. In Japan, they are. I'm at a point right now where as soon as they become much more available on Amazon Japan, I'm just going to buy a booster box of Series 5. And be done with it. Ooh, is this a boss fight? I'm in a boss fight. I got a blue Goomba and a red Goomba.
Blue Goomba and a red Goomba. I'm really impressed, by the way, that you have actually been playing this game really well and holding a conversation with me.
So I need to just point this out because this stream's almost over at this point. This game is great. I am having quite a good time playing this game. I could sit here for another hour on this stream and play this game. It's a blast.
Glad that you're liking it. I hope that is, if you're liking this, I think that you will really like RPG when you go back to that one.
I'm gonna try it out. Like I said, I started playing it on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition. I just picked up a wireless adapter for mine so that I can use a wireless controller with the Super Nintendo Classic, so maybe that'll make it easier for me, because when I was playing it I had to sit on the floor because the controllers are just so short. Even on the Super Nintendo, they were a bit longer than the NES, but they were still short.
Yeah, I bought these extension cables. I know exactly what you're talking about. But I know that we said everything about that Origami King. But
yeah.
One more thing did just come to mind when I referenced RPG. There's a cameo in Super Mario RPG of Samus.
And Donkey Kong.
And is Donkey Kong in it?
His head.
I don't remember Donkey Kong, but no, I'm talking about RPG.
Oh, RPG, sorry. Go ahead.
In RPG, there's a cameo, a Samus cameo, and a Link cameo. And then at the very end of the Origami trailer, Link puts on that Samus helmet. So I wonder if that's kind of a callback to that cameo all the way back in Mario's first turn in an RPG game, or if maybe it's just a coincidental appearance of another Samus item they thought it would be fun to include, or if it's a suggestion that maybe other Nintendo characters from other franchises might play a larger role in the game somehow, which would be my hope.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that the Samus helmet in the trailer that we saw for Origami King. I think that is a VR mode, and that will be a means for Mario to fight enemies in a VR setting for training.
Dude, my head was not there at all, but that is very interesting.
So you can hear, like, something is happening inside the helmet when he had it on. So he wasn't just putting it on and dancing around. Like, you could hear sound effects, like, coming out of the helmet. So my guess is it's going to be VR mode, and it's just... Final Fantasy VII Remake had that too. You put your VR goggles on, you can fight any enemy that you fought in the game. You can fight special bosses, you can train, you can learn like different maneuvers and stuff like that too. It could also be a really cool indication of like somehow tying in other Nintendo franchises into that as well. So this one's like Samus, right? The Samus helmet?
Yeah.
That could just take you to a VR Samus world and fight Metroid characters. There was a Donkey Kong head. If you put that one on, maybe you're going to be... Imagine this. The Donkey Kong helmet takes you to the original Donkey Kong stage where you have to fight like flaming barrels, all these other little enemies from the original Donkey Kong game. I could totally see that.
I would love that kind of stuff. And then if they do some kind of like paper spin on it so that they're recreating the experience from some of these past Nintendo games that may or may not have included Mario, and Mario steps a little bit outside of his world, that's always the most fun to me. That was the main appeal of Smash Brothers, is what? I get to sword slam Samus with Link's sword. I like just being able to zap people with Pikachu who are from other Nintendo games, hit people with Mario's fireball. Falcon Punch people? Who even knew Captain Falcon could punch? Like, the appeal of that game was really that it was the ultimate crossover, and it's continued to be that and become more and more that, double, triple, quadruple down on that. If they did that in Origami King, that would really appeal to the gamer in TJ.
I feel like them showing that at the end of the trailer was a big hint for something. It's not an Easter egg. If it was an Easter egg, why show it in the trailer at the end?
Fear is that it is an Easter egg. But
it can't
I
be
I
an
hope
Easter
you're
egg.
Exactly right.
If it was an Easter egg, that's the whole point. An Easter egg is something you find on your own, and it's like, oh, look at that. That's a reference.
Right.
But this was something they showed at the end of a debut trailer.
Right. What if it was just, though, we just want to remind you that we still remember Samus as a character. Like, what if it was that? Because they obviously have been pretty mum's the word on the Metroid Prime 4 since the game has had a lot of development troubles. And as I'm sure is the case, those troubles have gotten even worse in the current climate. So we cannot expect that game anytime soon.
I just had a weird thought, man. I just had a thought.
Lay it on me.
What if it's Labo VR? Labo
I
and
of
paper.
I thought that's what you were originally suggesting, because you papercraft the VR goggles, and Nintendo loves to release games that utilize their ancillary products and accessories that are unavailable. So it would be exactly Nintendo's MO to say, hey, we have this awesome VR mode that you can use with our Labo VR goggles that you can't buy anymore because they don't exist.
Yeah.
So only the small group of people who actually purchase them are actually going to be able to utilize this game function.
It would be terrible timing too. Like,
it would be terrible timing. And like, in all likelihood, wouldn't that be what they would do?
I don't know.
And the game's also going to have amiibo functionality. It's going to be the original Super Mario series amiibo that aren't going to get re-released. Not that. I'm sure that's not true.
You know, I was 100% certain when they announced Yoshi's Crafted World that it was going to have Labo support. I was 100% sure, because it made the most sense.
It made so much sense.
So I guess the fact that this makes so much sense, that it just means it's not going to happen.
That's a good point, because Yoshi's Crafted World is so obvious, but we got it in Breath of the Wild, and... Did we get it in Mario Kart and Mario Odyssey and basically every other game except for the one game that made so much sense? Yeah, a game that's actually about folding paper can't possibly utilize Nintendo's real paper folding series.
Yes. Man, ugh. I could totally see it happening, but I have it's completely really terrible track record.
Yeah, easy to imagine, but.
All right, TJ, I think what we should do, let's wrap this podcast up, but we are at a, I think the end of the first chapter of this game. Let's wrap up the podcast, but if you want to just hang on for like 10 minutes, we can just beat this boss together.
Yep, let's do
talk to the chat. So TJ, where can the good folks at home find you?
Check me out on YouTube, on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel, or you can keep up with me on Twitter at Custom Conquest.
Rock and roll. If you're looking for info on me, you can find me on my personal Twitter account at AmiiboJason. Otherwise, over at NintendoWire.com or YouTube.com/NintendoWire for all the amazing Nintendo news that your heart can carry and hold. TJ, until next time, man, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.